Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. Rhino down there in Studio X practicing safe driving. Both hands on the wheel, 10 and 2. He will guide us to our final destination around 7 p.m. If you want to join us, the C Spire text line is open to you, 601-879-4395. And we are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Throughout the show, we'll be telling you some of the great stuff happening this holiday season down in my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi. A lot of football to talk about. We'll get to that a little later in the show. I want to start with hoops. In about 13 minutes, we'll be joined by Coach Richard Williams, former Mississippi State basketball coach, of course, SEC champion and Final Four, now the color commentator for Mississippi State basketball. I want to get his thoughts on this team and how far he thinks it can go. Good win for the Bulldogs last night and a convincing win, which the net rankings took into account. State moved up to 19th. In the net rankings. I'm looking right now at the latest from Joe Lunardi. Has State listed as a potential 5 seed in if the bracket was today. Now, obviously the bracket is not today. We got a long way to go. But State would be a 5 seed and be an interesting group. We'll just look at it real quick. He'd have State in the Midwest region with the number 2 overall seed, the Tennessee Volunteers. Florida is the 8 seed. Florida is the 2 seed. Kansas is the 3 seed, Purdue is the 4 seed, and Mississippi State is the 5. That would be a really tough bracket for Mississippi State, but that's where he has the Bulldogs right now. He has 13 SEC teams in the tournament as we speak. The SEC has been an incredible conference thus far. I want to get Coach Williams' thoughts on that as well when we get there. But State with an 83-59 win over Central Michigan last night down there in Jackson. Moved up to 19th in the net. And a game that, you know, if you watch their previous two games against Prairie View and McNeese, State got off to slow starts in both of those games and really had to scrap and battle the whole way through against, you know, I think McNeese is a decent enough team and they'll probably win their conference. Prairie View's not a great team at all. But State had to fight all the way through the end to get there. Last night was not the case. State came out, grabbed control of the game early. A late first half run cuts the lead to single digits going into the locker room. State comes out of the locker room on fire. I thought the stat that stood out the most to me was 24 assists to 5 turnovers. You'll win almost every basketball game you play if you're going 24-5 on your assist-turnover ratio. And State has just done a magnificent job this year of valuing the basketball. We looked it up. Josh Hubbard is on pace to have more assists this year than he had all of last year at this point in the season. Like he's going to be ahead of his total from last year in a few weeks, probably. Last year he had 42 turnovers. This year he has 3. I mean, State has just made the basketball, you know, a precious metal in some ways, and they do not let it go. State only 5 turnovers last night. 3 of them were by Cam Matthews, but he counteracts that with 7 assists, so he's still better than 2-1 on the assist ratio there. That goes a long way, and that's why Mississippi State is winning games the way they are. They just don't make a ton of mistakes. They shoot the ball better than they did a season ago. They're not as good defensively as they were a season ago. They can be. They have flashes of that. They even put together some games where start to finish they're really good. But it's not that game in, game out, grind them to death mentality. The McNeese game was really the first time this year where I saw State play a game the way they played last year. Even Chris Jans said this was a rock fight, and you know we're comfortable in that. I'm comfortable coaching those kind of games. So for State, you know, an 11-1 start and a big game this weekend against the Memphis Tigers. That's a quad one opportunity, a true road game against a team that's currently what? I think they're in the 30s in the net. They have a game tonight against Virginia, so that's a good opportunity for them. Memphis is currently 30th in the net, so that's a good opportunity for the Tigers. And where is Virginia in the net? They're 101. That's surprising. Of course, Virginia, you know, if you keep up with college basketball, their coach did quit like 2 weeks before the season starts, so maybe that's to be expected. But even then, it's a quad two opportunity for Memphis. Quad one for State on Saturday. State, or like I said, mentioned 19th in the net. When you break down their record, they are already on the season 2-0 in quad one. That's a win over SMU and over Pitt. Those are your two quad one wins. I'm pretty sure SMU is a quad one. That's a true road game against a Methodist. The great radio, by the way, as I continue to look here. Anyway, they're 2-0 in quad one. In quad two, I believe they are 2-1. The Butler game is a quad two loss for Mississippi State, but their wins over Utah and the McNeese game. The McNeese game is a quad two game, believe it or not, because it was played at a, let me do the air fingers here, the air quotes, neutral site. I mean, it was played in Tupelo, but technically a neutral site. Same way the Utah game is, you know, it's a neutral site even though it's played in South Haven. That's just smart scheduling by Mississippi State. Something that, I mean, everybody's doing it. It's not like only Mississippi State's figured out that code. Ole Miss, Alabama's played three games in the state of Alabama, but not in Tuscaloosa. Auburn played one, or has one coming up this weekend. Georgia played one. Florida, I think, has played three. It's just smart. If you can play a neutral site game but still have a home crowd, why would you not do that? It's just smart scheduling is all that is. If you want to say you're gaming the system, well, that's kind of what life is nowadays. It's just a bunch of people gaming the system, so you move on from that. Hubbard is interesting to me because he hasn't had a monster game. He had a really good game against Prairie View, but I haven't seen one of those games where he's just jacking up, you know, 25 shots or anything like that, and that's a good thing, right? State doesn't need him to do that this year. They have more scoring options. They have 8 or 9 guys on that roster who on any night can go out and get you double figures. I'm interested to see, though, when it comes down to it, and they have a game where Hubbard has to deliver for them, and they need him to not only take 20-plus shots but make, you know, 10, 11 of those shots. Is that going to be a problem? Because he hasn't had to do it yet. I don't worry about Josh Hubbard. I think when that time comes, he'll be more than up to the challenge because he certainly was a season ago. But like I said, State's just so much more balanced this year. When you look up and down that roster of the guys who can get you double digits, I mean, obviously Hubbard. Last night you saw Claudell Harris. Claudell Harris is a lot of fun because when he is hot and he does not hesitate to pull the trigger on a shot. Does not. Michael Nwoko last night, 18.7 rebounds in 17 minutes. The efficiency off the chart. Just got to be able to get him a little deeper into games. And then you have guys, you know, Cam Matthews is certainly capable of going out there and getting double digits for you. Keyshawn Murphy has had double-digit scoring games. RJ Melendez had 18 in Tupelo on Saturday. He's certainly capable of going out and getting those kind of numbers. When Kanye Clary is healthy, he can do that. And even a guy like Sean Jones, he had double digits against Prairie View. He is a guy who can hit a few shots and get a couple of looks at the rim and get into double digits as well. So State is just, they're just deep. They're deep with scores. They've got to continue to get off of these better starts, though. The way they played against Prairie View, the way they played against McNeese, they lose those games in conference play because that slow start, instead of being down 2 or 3, you're down 20 against a good SEC team. The SEC this year has, I don't know that it's ever been this good. And like I said, we're going to talk to Richard Williams about that in just a minute. Top to bottom, this conference is incredible. I mean, like I said, State's 19th in the nation in net. That's good for 6th in the conference. Of the top 8, 4 are from the SEC. Of the top 10, 5 are from the SEC. Auburn and Tennessee are 1-2. Florida is 6. Kentucky is 8. Alabama is 10. And then you go down and you find Mississippi State at 19. Texas A&M is at 22. Ole Miss is at 24. Georgia is at 25. So of the top 25, I can add another, what, 4? 9 of the top 25 net teams in the country are from the SEC. The SEC's only lost 20 games thus far. 16 teams, they've all played 11, 12 games. Only 20 losses amongst them. I think the number is something like 148, 149, and 20. It's just incredible. An incredible basketball being played in the SEC. You know, for years, it's always been, oh, the SEC is such a murderer's row in football. Oh, baseball is so tough in the SEC. Softball is so tough in the SEC. Guys, basketball is tough. Tough in the SEC this year. So, let's talk some more hoops when we come back. We're going to talk to Coach Richard Williams. He's been on the call for all of these games. He's seen them up close and personal, and no one would know more than him about what's going on the court. So we'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
The one box.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad here. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. And thanks for joining me, Coach Richard Williams, former Mississippi State head coach, now the color commentator, along with Neil Price for the Mississippi State basketball games. And, Coach, I like this team. I like what I've seen from them thus far. But I see two teams sometimes, right? I saw the team that played against Pitt, and I think, well, that team could beat anybody. And then I see the team that played against Prairie View, and I think, man, they could lose to anybody. I assume the truth is somewhere in the middle, Coach. But what do you think about this team through 11 games?
But I think they're really good. They're excellent defensively. They're better offensively last year than they were. And, you know, you bring up the Pittsburgh game and the Prairie View game, and I think, you know, we come off the loss to Butler, and Coach Jans was as upset about that loss on the postgame show as I've ever seen him, because he knew we didn't play well. Our defense was just a step slow. We just didn't play as well as he expects. So coming off that loss, I knew whoever the next opponent was going to be in trouble. The next opponent happened to be Pittsburgh, and we played fantastic against Pittsburgh. At that time, Pittsburgh's a ranked team. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's human nature, and in particular for young people, you come off of a big win against a ranked team, then you're playing a team that these players understand. Prairie View is a SWAC team. We're supposed to win that game. So you don't play as well. You have a letdown. And for Prairie View, it's one of the biggest games on their schedule. So I knew there was going to be a letdown. Now, I didn't know the game would be that close, but I knew we wouldn't play like it against Pittsburgh. So I think we're better than we were against Prairie View, obviously, but I think this team is a very good basketball team. I think we have a chance to go a long way. I think we'll get an NCAA tournament bid and have a chance to win some games.
I think part of what makes this team so good, Coach, is the way they protect the basketball. I mean, last night, 24 assists to 5 turnovers. You're not going to lose a lot of games when you protect the ball and you're able to share it like that. Why is this team so much better than it's been in years past at protecting the ball?
They have a lot of guards, a lot of guys that play in the perimeter that take care of the basketball. And Josh Hubbard, now I want you to listen to this stat, man. I did some preliminary stats today, getting ready for the Memphis game on Saturday. Josh Hubbard has, I think it's 36 or 39, 39 assists, mm-hmm. 3 turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
That's unheard of.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen. And then you have Cameron Matthews, who actually has more assists. He has 44 assists, but only 22 turnovers. But you have a lot of perimeter guys who've handled the basketball, and they just don't turn it over. They take care of the ball. They pass the ball to the open man. They don't try to force passes. So I think that's a big key to this team. They average less than 10 turnovers a game, but they force a lot of turnovers, and that's Coach Jan's defensive philosophy, forcing the other team into traps, get deflections, get turnovers, and score off those turnovers. So that's not an accident, the stat you just talked about. That's what they do, and that's what they make their living on, is turning people over, converting those turnovers into points.
I don't normally like to make the comparison game with players, because, especially when I'm going to compare him to a guy that you coached. But R.J. Melendez, I think he's been such a valuable piece coming out of the transfer portal. When I watch him play, is there some Marcus Grant to his game? That's who he reminds me of.
I never thought about that. That's the first time I've heard that, but I think it could be a valid point. I'm not sure he's good a shooter as Marcus Grant.
Yeah.
Marcus Grant, if you left him open, he was a fantastic shooter. He was really good. He was a good ball handler, excellent defender. But there are some similarities. I haven't thought about that. And the thing I think about R.J. Melendez, and I was talking to him at practice the other day, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I said, R.J., you have a beautiful shot. And he really does. You watch him when he's set and catching the ball, and he doesn't rush shots. He doesn't force shots. You watch his release, his follow-through, the rotation on the ball. He just has a beautiful stroke. And I think he can certainly be a guy that is a good scorer for the Bulldogs, in particular because they have to pay so much attention to Josh Hubbard and now Claudell Harris. And another thing is the improvement of Michael Nwoko and Keyshawn Murphy in the post. Going into the season, I'm not sure our staff thought we had post guys that could really score around the basket, but I think Michael Nwoko and Keyshawn Murphy have shown they can score around the basket. So now they're attracting defensive attention. So that leaves guys like R.J. Melendez open for shots. I think he's really good. And, you know, with Chris Jans, if you talk to him like we do sometimes, off the record, you know, after practices, just talking basketball, some of the things that he really emphasizes with these new guys that it's hard for them to buy into is their defensive effort, their defensive intensity, their defensive execution, where to be on defense, who to guard, when they're doing switches, when they're not doing switches. And that's tough for new guys to follow sometimes, and I think that's where R.J. has been behind a little bit, but he's learning all those things now. He's diving on the floor for loose balls. He's starting to rebound a little better. And those things are really important to Chris Jans and the way he teaches defense.
Coach, you mentioned Nwoko there. 18 points and 7 rebounds last night in just 17 minutes. When we talked to Coach Jans about him, I don't know if it's a conditioning thing or just a mindset thing, but he talks about he's trying to get him to push through when he starts to feel exhausted out there. Do you think as we get through the grind of the SEC season, Nwoko is going to be a guy that they can count on, or is that going to be somebody they just have to work around that he can only play 15, 20 minutes a game?
Well, I think they're going to be able to count on him, but I think he does have to get in better shape. And, you know, you bring that up, and, you know, Coach Jans actually said this. I'm not talking out of school here. He said this on a postgame radio show a couple of games ago. Michael can play like 3 or 4 minutes really hard, but he's not in condition to do more than that. So after that 3 or 4 minutes, they have to get him out because Michael, instead of guarding ball screens the way he's taught, he guards ball screens the way Michael wants to guard them. So that's when they take him out and let him have a rest. But I think as the season goes on, he's going to get in better shape. He's going to know he's being counted on. And the thing he can really do that impresses me is he gets the ball down in that low post. He's got a great right-hand jump hook. Mm-hmm. And last night, for instance, they were trying to play him one-on-one in the post. He on that right side on that lane line. And the guy's trying to play him one-on-one. He just shoots that jump hook right over the top of him. So I think he's going to be a very important part of going on in the season. But when you have Michael Nwoko and Keyshawn Murphy, one backing the other one up, I mean, so if you get 15 or 20 minutes out of one and then 20 minutes out of the other, that's the ball game. Yeah. You have two really good post players in there.
We haven't talked that much about Josh Hubbard at this point, and, you know, he's been very good this year. State has not needed him to have one of those, you know, get in the phone booth and come out as Superman kind of games just yet. But I feel like when we get into conference play, that's going to be coming. Does it worry you that the fact that he hasn't had to carry the offense to this point, does it worry you that there may come a day where, hey, we need him to shoot 25, 26, 27 shots and make a lot of them? Do you just have that confidence that it doesn't matter the situation with Hubbard, he can deliver in?
Well, I don't know that we're going to need him to shoot 25 or 26 shots a game. That's an awful lot of shots for a player to take.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, when Josh started his career in high school and stuff like that, he might have been taking a lot because he was the guy, and he's always going to be the guy. That's the talent he has. It doesn't worry me because we have other scoring options. And we have more options this year to score, in particular in the perimeter, than we've had in the past. So Josh doesn't have to carry the team. The thing that does concern me is some of the shots Josh takes maybe are tougher shots than he needs to take, because his mentality is to be a scorer. That's what it's always been his entire career. The last four games, Josh is shooting 29% from the three-point line. Mm-hmm. And I think some of that is attributed to the fact he's taking some tough shots, some long shots. Last night, he took one shot, I can remember. It must have been 28, 20 feet out there. He doesn't have to take those shots now, I don't think, to help our team win. Now, there are going to be games where he's going to get a lot of points. He's going to get shots. But the thing you have to understand, going into this season, because of his reputation out of high school and what he did last year, Josh Hubbard is the number one person on everybody's scouting report. They're making it hard for Josh to get open looks. Last year, they didn't know as much about him. He's a freshman. He's a high school kid coming into high school. Oh, okay, he's okay. Well, they know how good he is now. All the opponents know how good he is. He's the number one guy on everybody's scouting report, and they're switching screens on him. They're double-teaming him off screens. They're making it hard for him to get as many open looks as he's had in the past. But I believe in our coaching staff enough to know they're going to get him open shots and open looks, and he's going to make a lot of those shots.
Coach, you only got about 60 seconds left, so if you just want to do a yes or no answer on this one, that's fine.
Okay.
Is this the best the SEC has ever been in basketball that you can remember?
I don't know if it's the best it's ever been. I'm going to tell you what my friend Wimp Sanderson, who we talk about all the time, talk to all the time. I talked to Wimp last week because he keeps up with it as much as anybody. I said, Wimp, what do you think about the league this year? He said, it's really good top to bottom. He said, the difference now is you might have to play at Kentucky. You might not have to play at Arkansas. You might not have to play at LSU, like when LSU was really good. Back when we were coaching, you played everybody twice.
Yeah.
You played all those teams at home. You played all those teams on the road. So it's hard to compare. Is it the best it's ever been? I think it's really, really good, Brian. I think you have so many teams with a chance to go to the tournament this year. But what I think about January 4th starting, you start SEC play, we're going to start beating each other up again.
I agree with you, Coach. I agree with you on that one. Coach Richard Williams, thank you so much for your time, Coach. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Sammy, Brian. Appreciate it, man.
All right, we'll be right back on Thunder and Lightning.
If you're feeling anxious about
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
We are wishing you a very metal Christmas here on Thunder and Lightning. Brian Haydad here with you on a Wednesday evening. Rhino is spinning the tunes down there in Studio X. Doing a great job of it, I might add. Our friends over at Visit Vicksburg want to let you know this coming Saturday from noon to 2, you can go see Santa Claus. He'll be at Billy's Italian Restaurant at 4000 South Frontage Road from 12 to 2. You can join for some special Christmas crafts. Get to write your letter to Santa Claus, and hey, the big man himself is going to be there. So bring the kids to Billy's Italian Restaurant on Saturday to meet up with Santa Claus. Rhino, have you been good this year?
I've tried my best.
You know what? I think Santa takes that into account. I've always been a big believer that, you know, he takes the effort into account. You know, he's like, hey, can I get a little something for the effort? Yes, you can with Santa. I've always believed that. So I think you'll be treated well this year, my friend. Let's talk some football. And to do so, we must, first off, we must play a certain song because, well, you know, go ahead, Rhino.
Creighton, 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 Creighton.
I think the Trump dance goes perfectly with the Creighton song. That's on rhythm there, in my opinion. And, of course, this time of year, if we're talking about recruiting, we are talking about the transfer portal. All right. State had to get a quarterback. They missed out on Jackson Arnold, so they went and got Luke Cromanhawk, That's right. The Hawk has landed at Davis Wade Stadium. I will be efforting to have a Hawk cry, the scream of a Hawk every time he takes the field, every time he scores a touchdown. Caw! Why not? I think that'd be a great thing, personally. It's weird how perception works. And Robbie Falk and I discussed this at length on Monday's Thunder and Lightning podcast, that State didn't put all of its eggs into the Jackson Arnold basket, obviously, right? They had this guy. They had him coming in for a visit. He was scheduled to be here. But it was obvious that Jackson Arnold was the first choice, right? That's who, you know, Jeff Levy had recruited at Oklahoma, had coached him, and wanted to bring him to Starkville. He goes to Auburn and never gets out uncommitted. Hugh Freeze gets the deal done. So you move to Krummenhawk. Guys, Krummenhawk is a much higher rated prospect. The perception is, oh, State missed out on Jackson Arnold. But in reality, and I know what you're saying right now. You're like, hey, Dad, you always say perception is reality. And it is. It is. But in the reality is that State got a higher rated prospect out of this. Now, I say all that to tell you that Luke Krummenhawk might never make a meaningful play for Mississippi State, because that's just the nature of the portal. If Blake Shapen can find a way to stay healthy all this year, Krummenhawk won't play very much. And then you might be willing to make the move to the true freshman, you know, who'll be a redshirt freshman next year, Kamario Taylor. I don't know the answer. And I don't think that Luke Krummenhawk necessarily wins any games this season for Mississippi State. You know, his arrival does not change my thoughts on what I think this team is going to be when we get into the 2025 season. But they had to have a quarterback. And I know a lot of people have been like, oh, they need defensive guys, and I don't understand why they're so focused on the quarterback. It's not they were focused on the quarterback. It's that he was willing to come. Yes, they need defensive guys. Two things can be true at the same time. They needed a quarterback, too. You couldn't just go into the season with Shapen and a true freshman. That was not going to work. Even last year, you had Chris Parson. Now Van Buren ends up beating him out, but you couldn't go through the season. You can't go into a college football season with two scholarship quarterbacks. That's not going to work. In reality, State would be doing well to get another guy, get a fourth quarterback to completely protect Kamario Taylor's red shirt. Well, I don't know if they're going to do that or not. Also, State goes into the transfer portal and brings from James Madison an offensive lineman, James Rammel. Big guy, 6'5", 295 pounds. Played tackle at James Madison. I don't know if he's a tackle for Mississippi State next season or not. He might slide inside, but he is a guy. He is a piece that I think can help State this upcoming season. He is a guy that, you know, I think State will try to find a way for him to be a starter coming into this season. So if that's the case, great. And then today, State gets a defensive commitment, which have been rare. Darian Gillette, a linebacker from Texas. Now, he is a potential guy. No production here. He's been injured, has not been on the field very much for the Longhorns, but was a highly rated guy coming out of high school, great athlete. You hope he's, you know, if he's healthy, you hope you can tap into that potential. What's been concerning about State thus far is the lack of not only visits and not only commitments, but they aren't throwing out a lot of offers to interior defensive linemen and to cornerbacks, and those are the two biggest needs this team has. They need guys in the middle on defense, and they need a cornerback. You know, Bryce Pollock going out to Texas Tech, you got to get somebody in there to replace him. Now, they've already brought in the guy from Kennesaw State, Javen Williams. But that's a depth guy, in my opinion. If that's a starting corner, that's not good for Mississippi State. They need a legit starting corner out there. They need two to three legit defensive linemen. In reality, they need four or five legit defensive linemen, but I'd settle for two and let the rest of the guys be depth. And they just aren't making their way to Mississippi State. And well, I think what's happening, you know, this has been a popular theory on message boards, and normally I would say no to that, but this one just logically makes sense. I think what you're seeing with State a lot of times is guys are visiting here or they're talking to Mississippi State through their agents, and they're getting an idea of what State's willing to offer in NIL, and then they're turning around and talking to schools they actually want to go to. And they're telling them, hey, Mississippi State offered me $500K, offered me $600K. Can you match that? And if they get a yes, that's where they're going to commit to, because they don't want to play at State. Because State went 2-10 last season. And they don't, you know, State didn't make any coaching changes. So they look at that and go, so they kept all the coaches that went 2-10. Why would I go there? That's the issue that we talked about a lot with Coleman Hutzler, that even if you believed that it was a talent issue for Mississippi State, it was going to be difficult for Hutzler to get talent to come to Mississippi State because people are going to look at what he's done and say, why would I go there? I don't know. I can't remember a time where somebody went 2-10 and there wasn't one change on staff. And I know there's a lot of rumor working right now that there may be some changes after the end of the year or after the playoffs. You know, it's maybe there's some coaches that are currently in the playoff prep and then State's going to try to get. I hear those rumors. They don't make any sense. They don't make any sense whatsoever for me. Because why would you have these guys still recruiting for you? Why would you let a coach who you think is you're going to let go at the end of the year, why would you let him? This is the most important part, is getting these transfer guys in. Why would you let him hang around? You would bring in new guys to bring in new guys. I don't get the logic there if that is indeed the case. So I am hopeful. It's crazy to say this. It really is. But I'm more hopeful that State doesn't make any changes after the end of the year, because if they make changes after the portal closes, I am going to lose my, you know what? I'm just going to absolutely snap, because that makes zero sense to me. There is no logic in it whatsoever if you're Mississippi State. If you want to get new guys in here, you need to get new guys in here now so they can help you recruit the portal. You can't just let a guy hang around and collect a paycheck for 3 weeks, because why? Why? Explain it to me like I'm five. You can't. So I'm hopeful these rumors are not true. And it sounds weird to say, but I hope the staff just stays intact at this point, because otherwise you're doing something that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. State's got a lot of visitors coming in over the next few days. They're doing their best, but they've got to get players. You know, I keep going back to what Levy said about just wanting to get 15 guys. I certainly hope he misspoke, because they need way closer to 30. They've lost 25 players to the portal already. I think they have 8 commitments, but one of them is Krummenhoek, who's not going to play next year unless there's an injury. You've got to find a way to go out there and get 2 or 3 quality defensive linemen, a couple of more cornerbacks, another linebacker, a couple of edge rushers. That's just on defense. Offensively, you need a left tackle. I don't know if Rammel's it or not, but even if he is, you need a couple of more interior guys. You don't have a center right this second. You got to get some receivers in, some proven guys. You don't have any right this second. You probably need another running back. You probably need to find another tight end to go in that room. There's a lot of needs for Mississippi State, and I don't see the urgency that I need to see from this team as far as their activity in the transfer portal. So, you know, color me concerned. I'll just go ahead and tell you right now. You need to brace yourself for it today, so that when we come back to it throughout the year, you're not like, what did he say? I don't think this team's going to be very good in 2025. That schedule's a bear. I mean, even a much improved team would struggle to win 5. So when I tell you this team is probably 2-10, 3-9, 4-8 if things go really, really well, that's kind of where my head's at right now. And unless they make some big additions in the transfer portal between now and August, that's where my head's going to stay. One more segment with you guys. When we come back, we say goodbye to a legend, one of the greatest voices in the history of college baseball, has called it a career. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Now's Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Right, the 3-1 pitch is a drive deep to left way back. It is gone! It is gone! A grand slam for Masters! A grand slam for Masters! This crowd is berserk!
The legend, the GOAT, call him whatever you will, Jim Ellis today announced he will be retiring effective immediately as the voice of the Diamond Dogs, the voice of Mississippi State Baseball, a position he has held for 47 years. Incredible, incredible career, and a man who every Mississippi State fan out there has listened to a baseball game on the radio called by Jim Ellis. It's just not possible, especially of anyone over the age of 25, has listened at least one time to the game on the radio, be it just in your car or back, you know, when I was a kid, when college baseball was not a televised sport. If you wanted to listen to Mississippi State play a game, you had to turn on the radio and find Jim Ellis's voice and tune in for, you know, 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon. And I can't tell you the number of times I did that. And of course, you know, Jim was the voice of along with Jack Kristol. He was the color commentator for him for many years, and then took over as the play-by-play guy with football. Did MSU basketball for a number of years. Has worn a number of hats, but is definitely as the voice of the Diamond Dogs that he has been achieved the most notoriety. And as I tweeted earlier today, when you think about Mississippi State baseball, you think about Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro and Ron Polk and Jake Mangum and Tanner Allen and Jim Ellis. Jim Ellis's name is in that list. Jim Ellis's name is right there with all of those great players, all of the great coaches, all of the great memories of college baseball at Mississippi State have Jim Ellis's voice imprinted upon them. And one of the comments I made, you know, in this day and age where we can watch any college baseball game, right? Every game State plays next season will be televised somewhere. I can watch it streaming. It'll be on a TV, wherever it is. But I can't tell you the number of times where State would have a game and then I would try and find the Jim Ellis commentary to those big moments. If I didn't catch it on the radio or I was just watching the game on television, I would look forward to someone saying, hey, here's Dakota Jordan's walk-off, or here's Hunter Hines' home run, or here's Landon Sims striking out that batter with Jim Ellis' commentary. And I treasure those moments, you know. Obviously, the Burke Masters home run is the one that stands out among all others, but so many great moments. And, you know, when State won that national championship in 2021, I thought about Jim Ellis and a man who, you know, seen this, so many great teams and so many great players get close. You know, obviously 85 stands out, you know, 97, 98, 91. Of course, 2013 making it up there and getting to the championship series. And you thought, you know, is it ever going to happen for Mississippi State? And finally in 2021, they break through and they win that national title. And Jim Ellis, who had sat in the booth and called all of those other College World Series games and had to call so many final games of the season that were a loss. The final game was the one where State was eliminated from postseason play, to finally be able to call the final game of the season, and it's a win. And it's the ultimate win. No one more deserving of that. And what a humble guy. Great guy. One of the perks of being here at Super Talk is I've gotten to know Jim Ellis a little bit and cultivated a friendship with him. What a great guy. Not afraid to talk MSU sports with you. And I love that he didn't want to do the farewell tour. He could have had, you know, one last year and Mississippi State would have done everything to honor him. And every ballpark he went to would have had a moment to recognize the great Mississippi State longtime announcer Jim Ellis. He wanted none of that. He wanted to go home. He said he'll be in the stands this year. I hope that anyone who sees him out in the left field lounge, you immediately provide him with a plate of food and whatever it is, you know, if he wants an adult beverage or if he just wants a sweet tea, whatever it is, you provide that for him because he certainly deserves it. A true legend, a true great, and a true bulldog. My great compliments to the great Jim Ellis. Appreciate him so much. And not going to be the same, you know. I don't know who they got taken over for him. I would imagine Neil Price's name will come up, and he would certainly be fantastic. My friend Bart Gregory would be a fantastic choice as well. It will be a job that people would want, but I think it'll definitely go to a Bulldog, somebody who's here already. And it's going to be weird, though. It's going to be weird to not see Jim Ellis up there in the press box, not see Jim Ellis up in the in the stadium or see him in the stadium just enjoying himself. No one deserves a fantastic retirement more than does the great, great Jim Ellis. And I brought this out of the car today, Rhino. I've had it in the car for a few weeks or for months now, and I don't know why I haven't brought it into the studio, but I finally decided I had to bring my Jim Ellis bobblehead into the studio today. So he will sit here on my desk next to Coach Polk. I have Coach Polk here with me at all times as well. So there you go. All right, as you can guess, with next Wednesday being Christmas, I ain't going to be here. So Merry Christmas to you all. Obviously, Sports Talk Mississippi tomorrow, I'll be back there as well, and the Thunder and Lightning podcast, plenty to talk about there as well. For Rhino, down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.